Brother Fred Hudnall, would you come up and ask the Lord's blessing on our testimony meeting, please?
Our dear Father who art in heaven, we are so thankful that we can gather here tonight as a group to learn more of thy wonderful plans and purposes. We are so pleased that thou hast been with us all during our convention here, and we pray that thou will continue to guide us and to direct us. And we'd like to ask for those now who may be traveling. Some of them may be traveling home some great distances. We pray that thou wilt give them a safe trip. And dear Lord, we'd like to ask for all the dear ones that have been with us at different times. We pray now for those at the dawn. We ask for a blessing upon them, praying that thou would guide them and direct them. And we'd like to think of other brethren, perhaps in far-off places. We pray that thou would guide them and direct them and keep them continually looking to thee. Now we pray that thou would guide us as we continue to be and to have fellowship with one another the rest of this evening, because we ask it in through Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Fred. Brother Fred and I go back to a Fresno convention in 1957 when we were both immersed. Brother Paul Davis was the speaker, the immerser at that convention, and it was, I think, the only time that we ever had an immersion service at our Fresno convention. And Sister Austin, who has since died, from Tehachapi, was also immersed with us. Yeah, Sister Austin. So, anyhow, we appreciate that Fred is still with us. He's in the San Luis Obispo class, and we appreciate fellowship with him from time to time. Now it's time to think of the blessings that we've received at the convention, to praise our Heavenly Father for the wonderful privileges that we've had of being here, of having fellowship with maybe this one or that one. And I always appreciate a little lesson I learned from, from Shirley Evans when we were coming home from a convention after she and Richard had gotten married, and we went to some conventions together, traveled together, and she said, "What was the high point of the convention for you?" And the high point could be any one of a number of things. It could be one particular point in a talk, or it could be some particular fellowship or something that just really stands out to single that convention out. And it was interesting because nobody ever asked me that before, and it was kind of hard to sit and think, wow, out of a 2 or 3 day convention, how do you boil it down and say, what was the one thing that I really am going to take home from this convention that is a treasure or something special? So I've often used that sense in the testimony meeting to try to bring this thought out to others. And so maybe that might be something that you'll do tonight, but I don't have the testimony meeting. Brother Ray Luke has, and so he's going to allow you to open your minds and hearts and to draw out these thoughts that you wish to bring out. And you're going to be very casual. You can sit or you can stand. The microphone will be brought to you, and so you can be very comfortable and enjoy the service. So Brother Ray, if you'll come up here now, we'll ask Brother Ray to lead our thoughts.
Thank you, Brother Bob. When I was sent the program and given the specific assignments, and I saw this last service, Echoes of Echo, I was a little bit puzzled as to just what might be involved. But as I thought about it, I began to realize that, you know, it's not so strange. I do remember a situation where I did hear Echoes of Echo. And the hymn that we just sung, the last verse, kind of brought me memory of it. It says, "Or climbing the mountain waist deep, or walking in the shadowy vale." Let me tell you about that Echoes of Echo. It was, I think, in 1984 when we had the International Convention at Upsteig. And it was in the Austrian Tyrol, mountains all around. And during one of the intermissions, I got courageous. I thought I would just walk up one of those little trails and go up the mountain. And I did. And as I got higher up the mountain, Oh, I was just entranced with the beauty of the scenery and the solitude of the walk. And I suddenly heard in the distance bells. I heard a bell, a cowbell. And then all of a sudden I heard that bell reverberate down the valley. I realized that I was hearing echoes of the echo of those bells. Then I thought, there must be animals here, there must be cows. I could see a few of them walking by. And then I saw some lying down. Some of them were beside in the green pastures, and some of them were beside the still waters. And there they were grazing, and there they were resting. And you know what they were doing as they were resting? They were chewing their cud. You know what chewing the cud is? After they've been in a pasture, and after they've taken the nourishment from the grass, and after they've taken in the clear fountain spring water, then they rest and they begin to masticate. Then they chew their cud, and they send it down to one stomach, and they happen to have four stomachs, and they regurgitate it up, and they chew it some more, send it down to the next stomach, and do that four times before the food is ready to be absorbed into the body. And that food becomes that luscious, creamy milk, or that tender steak that gives us cholesterol. If you will forgive my analogy, we are like those cows. We have been sitting or standing, resting beside in green pastures, beside the still waters. For 3 days we have just absorbed the nourishment and the restfulness and the refreshment of the waters. And now we are in the process of masticating, of digesting, of making our own that which we have absorbed these last 3 days. And just like the bovine, like the cow, as we masticate it, goes down into the memory bank that we have. And then as we were talking during the intermission, sometimes sisters are making their irons and doing their house chores, and they may have forgotten about the convention, but all of a sudden, like Sister Mary, she remembers, oh yes, I remember that thought, I remember that talk, and how she just regurgitates the cud and chews it, and she savors it. Or there are others who are in an experience, and as they endure some of these hardships and trials, why, they remembered, oh yes, Brother Joseph Ejisi, well, he spoke about those trials, and he talked about how God is overseeing them, and how they're all directed of him. And as chewing the cud, those trials take on an entirely different aspect. And so that's where we are, dear brethren. Now it's our blessed opportunity to make that truth our own. Because eventually when it goes into that fourth stomach, it is now ready for processing into the organism of the animal itself. And so we too are processing these truths until they become a part of us, and they become a part of the fruits of the Spirit that we are then able to exhibit to the glory of God. And so now what we're doing, we're in the first stage. We're just beginning to put into our memory bank, trying to sort out, trying to collate the experiences, the thoughts that we got in our attention to the discourses, and the warmth of fellowship, the communion and prayer together. In the dorm, we had fellowship under different circumstances, and we got to know each other under conditions which are a little bit different than formally. And you know, you see your brethren in different aspects, and they become more sweet and more meaningful to you. Now, these are the kinds of cud chewing that we are doing tonight. And I realize sometimes memory becomes a blur because it's all before. We've got to sort things through. And this opportunity you have now may be the beginning of that process, of what has been some of the meaningful experiences that you've had at this convention. Well, what thought perhaps was suggested that was new or which you feel will sustain in the experiences ahead. So all I'm doing here is I'm just kind of chewing my own cud a little bit as I think of my own enjoyment these last 3 days. But I must stop that now and give you the opportunity to do so. So who'll be first to reminisce a little bit and to bless us with their nourishment?
The machine's on the half speed, so it'll run 2 hours if you're so inclined.
Dear brethren, I'm Jenny Wilson, and I have been sitting out in the lobby most of the convention. But today I really came to life. I got to get in there and listen to the speakers and become a part of you. But one thing I'd noticed, we are a smaller group, and with the rain, which we prayed not to have, it was out there all the time, and we kind of clung together, and we stayed inside and had close fellowship because of the weather. And I thank my Heavenly Father that he overruled in this case, because I thought I could just sense that we were having close fellowship. I particularly was moved by Sister Sue's song and the Vesper that was the Lord's overruling, because Paul Lagneau called us just the night before we were going to come up, and we didn't know what was going to happen, but then Richard has said that he had a Vesper with him, and he had two Vespers, in fact, and so the one that he chose was so beautiful. And just, I just was overcome with how the beauty blended from Sue's song and her story through the beauties of seeing the brethren and the picturesque setting. And it was just wonderful with the music. And of course, then all of the talks that, well, the ones I particularly I heard today, I could hear little bits of the symposium and the things that were said. But one thing I picked up today, and I don't know where I've been before, I never caught this idea. 1 Corinthians 13:3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Suddenly, I realized what that's saying when it says burned, because we were talking about sacrificing. And I thought, okay, that's what that means. I really never even thought about it before. So I appreciate that to suddenly hit me. And also, it goes in so well with what Brother Luke was talking about when he mentioned Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable service. And since we're into Hebrews, we've been there 8 years. We're studying Hebrews. Yeah, six years. we have appreciated the thought that, of course, we're living, we're alive in Christ, and we are sacrificing, so we are presenting our bodies living sacrifices, and this is your reasonable service, so everyone's doing it that has been called. And outside of that, I just have appreciated everybody has been so outgoing and so friendly and loving, and I'm just in a glow. I thank all of you for staying for this echo meeting. I realized this year everybody was going home after lunch on Sunday. I thought there's not going to be anybody left, but here we are, and it's just the right size. And I love you all, and I pray for you, and thank you for helping us to have a convention. We couldn't have it unless you came. Thank you.
And thank you, Sister Jenny. As we think of the program, how well balanced it has been, balanced with our spiritual menu that has given us devotion, it's given us doctrine, it's given us the inspirational, admonishing parts of our worship, and the warmth of intimate relationship and fellowship. But I know that as I went through the convention rooms, I would always find that back at that desk in the rear room, there was always somebody who had all the answers. And there was Jenny sitting. And I could see that it had taken its toll, tiredness. But we realized that it's a part of your love, labor of love on our behalf, for which we are grateful. And the hospitality of the Ecclesia has just been wonderful. Sister Pat.
If I shake, you can tell I shake. I've meant to do this a lot earlier, was to bring the love of my class. And so far I hadn't been able to do that, but they did send their love, and my son especially would have liked to have been here, Ken Allison. And I am very pleased to have my daughter with me, and to spend more days with her. She works all the time, so we don't always get together. And I've enjoyed seeing many of the friends that I haven't seen for a long time, and some that I have seen even overseas that I saw back here. And I always enjoy Fresno Convention because it's almost like home to me. And the talk on trials is especially good for me because sometimes I have to do them over and over before they mean anything, before I get the message. And I like seeing the Jesses because Comey and Angela are close. I love them very much. And I love all you very much. And I like the fellowship especially. And I ask an interest in your prayers. And I want to praise my Heavenly Father for allowing me to be here.
For the sake
I shouldn't say that last, but first.
For the sake of the record, sister, would you identify yourself?
I'm Pat Allison, and I am with the Southern Nevada Bible Students, and we meet in Las Vegas.
Thank you. Who'll be next?
Brother Luke and dear friends, and dear Bob and Jenny, Fresno class is monopolizing the testimony meeting again. I remember being at Portland at a convention in August last year, and one of my favorite memories from there is Paul Lagneau's talk on how we should participate in testimony meetings. And going home, we discussed it in the Fresno class, and we now are very blessed with testimony meetings because we start out our Tuesday night meeting with anyone that wants to testify, and we've had many blessings and grown closer together from that. So the blessings do come from the conventions. I'm tired, so if I rattle or on and on, I'll try and quit. I don't often bring this up, but I do have rheumatoid arthritis, and my endurance is low. But I want to thank my Heavenly Father for the strength He has given me to do what I've been able to do for this convention, because it's been a labor of love on my part, and I've gotten many blessings. But I have been involved in the children's program. And by dealing with that and talking to the brethren and lining up the people who have participated, it's been a great blessing because of their willingness to work. And then sitting in on one of the classes today with DuPay was a great blessing to me. I enjoyed Mark Bleacher's leading those children, and I was trying to see it through their eyes and through her eyes. And he gave a lesson on the new creation, and I really appreciated those simple beginnings, going back to so many fundamentals. And no matter how many times you go over them, you still learn a little lesson from them. And how fortunate for these young ones to have teachers like Mark, and to be able to come to conventions and learn these things of our Heavenly Father. The things that you learn when you're a child, you have with you always. And I know those are the things that I remember, and I'm very fortunate to have had a mother who was in the truth, and my sister Pat, who just testified, is very dear to me, and we have a lot of little studies over the telephone, but I'm rejoicing in the fellowship with her and with the dear friends that Elaine I haven't seen for years, and I enjoyed visiting with her, and it's been a special blessing to meet Comey's parents. Comey, I love dearly. I've just felt so close to him, and it just tears us apart that he's leaving. But we know that wherever he's going, whatever he's doing, he's in the Lord's hands. And I have a scripture I'd like to share with you. We know that our Father in heaven so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. And I'd like to share Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. As he loved us and kept us, let's love him and stay with him. Thank you.
And thank you, Sister Smith.
I just want to add one thing to her testimony, and that is when she came home with this idea that on Tuesday nights we'd start with a testimony, we went an hour and a half. And we didn't even get to the study. And so we don't go that long now, of course. Maybe it's 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. But we were just ready for it. And it has enriched our lives. And we thank you, Judy.
Who'll be next?
Might I add, I'm Brother Charles Irvin from the Lake Los Angeles class. And we do the same thing at the Lakewood class. The first 15 minutes we have testimony meeting, if anybody has news to pass along or praise the Lord. And then we continue with our meeting.
Yes. Thank you.
I thank the Lord. I can say right away that the convention has been a huge blessing to myself and my wife. In the sense that, to me, is a walking tour from Nigeria. I've learned a lot from what I've seen since we arrived here as conventions have been conducted. And it's a great help to me and a great blessing to our Nigerian brethren as a whole. We are really blessed, especially as we are here, I'm sitting in the midst of my family. On my right hand is my father, my right left hand is my mother. So, and surrounding me are my children and my wife and my brethren in Christ. So I'm just overwhelmed. It's really great. We love you all and we pray that this love will continue in the kingdom when we meet together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Ajisi. Will you please introduce yourself before you testify?
My name is Joseph Ajise from Ibadan Ecclesia in Nigeria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think Kume wants to.
Brother Luke and dear friends, I guess I have my grandparents here too. And my name is Comey Ajise. I'm with the Fresno Bible students. It's indeed a great pleasure to be here and to see all the faces in the room today. I guess recently I've started shying away from testimonies because you never know when to stop when you start testifying, and I get embarrassed when I go forever. But I can't begin to tell what how happy and privileged it is to be here today, especially to be in the same room with my parents, having not seen them for 7 years. We sort of have kept in touch in a very expensive way over the phone, and so we talk from time to time, at least once a month. So you sort of know what is going on in their lives, and but it's nothing compared to when you see them in real life. When I was coming home on Wednesday, they had been at home in Fresno, and I was working in Sacramento. On the train home, it's about a 3-hour ride. I stayed busy. I was doing a lot of work, and about 15 minutes to my stop in Fresno, I think I had an anxiety attack because I couldn't do anything, and I would stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down, and I was walking all over the train. So I didn't realize that I was that anxious to see them. And so when the time came to see them, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was really concerned that I might be an embarrassment, but we just stood there and just looked at each other, and I think that said it all. So it's a real privilege that I think it's worthy of thanks to my Heavenly Father that we were afforded this privilege to see each other again and to learn of all of the things that are going on with my siblings back home and all of that. There are many other things to be thankful for. The circumstances that led to the fact that we're now moving to Sacramento is one, and I think we've talked about that to many of the brethren. But it's the one blessing that I am very thankful of in the whole situation is to come to realize the leadings of the Lord, and be able to say for sure that we think the Lord is pushing us in this direction, and that's how we've seen our move to Sacramento. And so we're excited and anxiously looking forward to what kind of blessings are in store for us, and opportunities are in store for us in Sacramento. And having fellowshiped in Sacramento 2 years ago for about 5 months, it's like going home because I know all of the brethren. We've sort of interacted. So that is not going to be as stressful as it would be if you were going to a brand new class. But then we have other things to contend with, moving and all of that, and also having to leave behind the Fresno class. That would be, to me, we're all still in a state of denial, because I come home every weekend, yet it's like we're not living yet. But I think the time will come when we'd have to realize that we're actually living. So I haven't said goodbyes, and I don't think we're going to say goodbyes in Fresno. We're just going to go and come back like every weekend, and then it will be every 2 weeks and so on. It's been a very wonderful convention. It's smaller than it used to be, but like I've talked to Sister Jeannie about, it's even more time for fellowship because you don't have to cater to so many different brethren. And so I think it's been a real blessing. I really enjoyed the talks immensely. I was thinking about the lesson Brother Chandler brought to us on the other memorial, actually. And it was interesting because it was something I had been looking at. The example of Mary that she brought to us, which was actually another kind of memorial because our Lord said this will be remembered every time. So it's the kind of love that I have come to see among the brethren, that they don't hesitate to break open that alabaster oil to anoint their brethren. Brethren are always very generous, and I think that is what has translated in having my parents here this year. It's part of all of that brotherly kindness and brotherly love and generosity amongst the brethren. So there is a lot to be very thankful for, and we can't begin to be to count our blessings, as the song says, because our Lord has, our Heavenly Father has done wonderful things in our lives. So we continue to ask and interest in your prayers, and we love you all. We know we will again run into each other at some convention along the West Coast, whether it be Fresno again. We love you all, and God bless you.
You know, having Comey give that testimony almost brings tears to my eyes. As I remember first meeting Brother Comey at the first Nigerian convention as a up-and-coming young brother in the Lord, and now to see him as a brother in his own right and a brother elder to boot, it's just a testimony to the grace of God. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. And as I see the way that Spirit is directing your life, Comey, we know that you will be a great blessing to all the brethren with whom you will be meeting, and that your life will be a grand example of the grace of God. Brother?
I'm Sister Lena Turner from Denver. Again, I'm kind of hogging testimonies. I apologize, but I had to take the chance once again to thank my Heavenly Father for being here and praising him for this weekend. It's been just phenomenal. One of my impressions that I'm taking away is not from in the conference hall at all, but it was from jogging along the path and seeing all the birds one morning. And there was such a variety of birds, I hope everybody noticed. And it came to me, nothing very new or shattering, but here are these birds. They're all different sizes. They're all different shapes and colors. And they all have different songs. Some of the songs aren't even very pretty. But they're all praising God. They're doing exactly what God wants them to do, and they're singing his praises. And that's the way I see the church. One of the thoughts that I appreciated from the talks was one that flitted by much too quickly, and I hope I get to hear it developed more, was in Carl's talk on the body, the different parts of the body, regarding the breath of the body being the Holy Spirit. And I think that's something that we don't know enough about, and we don't give enough flow in our lives. And I think God wants us to be full of his Spirit, and part of that comes out in enthusiasm, which comes from words that mean God breathed, which of course Carl probably knew all that already. And so I want us all to let God breathe in us, and it comes out in various forms of praise. I also appreciated Carl's thought about faith being like our bones, which need to grow by being challenged and sometimes even shot full of holes, but then being rebuilt. And I think that's a good thing for us to be reminded of more often than we are. But the main blessing for me from this convention has been seeing my brethren again, and seeing brethren who I haven't seen in a long time, and in whom I've seen so much growth. There are some people that were here that I didn't think were going to be here at, like weren't walking with the Lord anymore. And it's just been such a thrill to see how they've matured. And also I've seen brethren who used to intimidate me terribly by their minds, because that's all I saw was their mind. And now this time I've seen the mind still, but so much heart. And I've really, really appreciated that. I think the Lord is really working with his people to develop their love for each other. So I appreciate what Fresno Convention has done to further that purpose. And I know that's God's purpose among his children. And so I thank you all, and I love you all, and I'll pray for you all.
Thank you.
Brother Carl Hagensick from Chicago Ecclesia. This has been a very beautiful convention to me. Many of it is from memories, as you were responding to Comey's testimony. That's been one of the memories I've been living with this entire convention, seeing Joseph and Madupe here, and remembering that convention in Nigeria, and then looking at the program at this convention, realizing how many of the brethren who are on this program have been to Nigeria, and I think Brother Al and Brother Carlton, the only two have not had that privilege, and that brings back a lot of beautiful memories. That convention was one of the highlights of my Christian life, because I grew up as a Bible student. I grew up with a certain image in my mind of what the truth must have been like in the days of Pastor Russell, when it was all new. It was all just being discovered. And the joy of coming out and finding these new truths. And the joy I saw my Nigerian brethren at that first convention was the closest I've ever experienced to that vision ahead in my mind. So seeing Joseph Madupi, and again, always seeing Comey, because Comey was our chauffeur, and he was the one that picked us up from the airport, and we got to know Comey pretty well, and Sister Mina, and those were very precious memories. And of course, the Lord often brings my path across with Brother Ray. And Brother Ray is the beginning of my Christian life. So much of my inspiration started with Brother Ray, and I always think of the tears. And very meaningful in many steps along the way, and I appreciate that. And I particularly enjoyed seeing Lena, because one of my first ecclesias was the Washington, D.C. ecclesia when Lena was a little girl. It's just barely attending with her mother at the meetings. But that was my first independent ecclesia living of my own. And so that brings back its share of memories. So there's a lot of beautiful memories that were here. I particularly enjoyed many pieces of fellowship. One particularity was a very short piece. But it's every time that I see Beverly get involved in a new project, to see the light in her eyes and the joy she's got. And I was enthused with that. And I've been getting involved in a little new project right now myself. And the testimony that Lena mentioned brings it to my mind. I mean, a book of poetry of a sister from Canada that I never heard of before, Sister Ruby DeVouge. But beautiful poetry. And Lena's testimony brings to mind just one. I'd just like to share that in closing my testimony, because I particularly appreciate this poem. Sister DeVouge often writes a little story and then brings her poem out of the story and will weave in another poem that's well known into her own poetry at the same time. So the story goes, it's titled Break Forth into Singing. There's a beautiful story which tells of songbirds being brought over the sea. There were 36,000, mostly canaries. The sea was very calm when the ship first sailed, and the little birds were silent. They kept their little heads under the wings, and not a note was heard. By the third day out at sea, the ship struck a furious gale. The passengers were terrified. Children wept. Then a strange thing happened. As the tempest reached its height, the birds began to sing. First one, then another, until all 36,000 were singing as if their little throats would burst. When the storm rises in its fury, do we then begin to sing? Should not our song break forth in tenfold joy? When the tempest begins, I can hear the songbird singing the refrain. It is morning in my heart, and I know that life for me begins again. It is morning in my heart. It is morning. It is morning in my heart. Jesus made the gloomy shadows all depart. Songs of gladness now I sing. For since Jesus is my King, it is morning in my heart. O God, will thou teach us to begin the music of heaven? Grant us power to have many rehearsals of eternal hallelujahs. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Try singing in the storm. And I just find that so beautiful when I thought of the songbirds that Lena heard along the way. Of the lessons, there were so many, but like one of the others, Brother Carlton's talks, both his discourse on the anointing touched me very much, and then a special blessing from today's panel that I enjoyed. As often as I've read the scripture, I never realized what the gift of helps was, the gift of giving, and that is something that I want to go back and study more thoroughly as a separate subject now. That was a great joy, but it was a good, just a real wonderful privilege to be here, and I thank the Lord for it.
And we thank the Lord, Brother Carl, for your presence here and your contribution to the program. And I don't know of another brother to whom I personally can believe that the words of Paul would be more appropriate when he wrote, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Your service has been felt on all the continents of this globe. And I might say, in your sacrifice on behalf of the body of Christ, I say that of all the brethren who have lived in the gospel age, nobody has traveled as far and has racked up more mileage than Brother Carl. The most traveled brother than the gospel of the gospel age. That, I believe, just testifies to the beauty of that life. And our lives have all been enriched, Brother Carl, because you've been privileged to come our way. Who'll be next?
Thank you very much. This is Sister Dupa from Nigeria. Usually, I can't do my testimony without having a song or so. I think it goes this way. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Thank you very much. I have so many things to thank the Lord for giving me the grace on behalf of, I can say all the brethren, because I don't think everybody is special to me, because giving us the grace to be here this occasion and seeing every one of you, those ones that have been in Nigeria and those ones that we do not expect to see, but we can see them here right now. We give glory to God Almighty for His kindness over us and for continued help on us. And I thank the American brethren, the Fresno Ecclesia. If I continue to mention names, it will be as if to say I'm partial. But I thank everybody, no exception. I thank the Lord, you know, for this journey is something we've been, you know, anxious to see. But notwithstanding, the Bible said we have to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen their heart. I think the Lord has really made it. Give us the grace to be here and seeing Brother Hagin sick, because when we heard about you know, his illness, it gives us another, you know, something in our heart. But seeing him, you know, it gives us joy, because your hope is not lost. The Lord is really doing His work in our midst. In our own area, we usually think of miracle, and I think miracle happens in our life, every moment of our lives. Seeing ourselves is a miracle, because I don't think we can add an inch to our own breath, I mean to our own life, or a day to our own life to live. But with the grace of God in us all, and seeing our brothers and sisters singing, the joy, embracing ourselves, not minding whom we are or where you come from, and you know, it really gives me a great joy. And the big man among us here, Kome, which you all have taken as you know, as baby, because you overpaid him too much, more than we do over there. And I thank brother our grandfather Evans and our grandmother Shelley. I wouldn't say Shelley, I'm grandmother, because I mentioned it means I'm not respecting her. And I thank also the Wilsons, the Jenny and Bob. I thank everybody here, you know, giving us, you know, this opportunity, and all those people who do contribute to our trip. I thank the Lord mostly. I know everything I have to do is to thank the Lord, because I have nothing to say than to thank the Lord. The birds in the air and the fishes in the sea all say, praise the Lord. May His name be praised forever. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you.
And thank you, Sister Dupe. You've made this convention, by your presence, together with Brother Joseph, a very unique and blessed experience for us all.
I'm Sister Joy Sarasi. I'm really living in the past. It's a good thing Ben didn't hear that. Sister Joy Thompson. Oh, anyway, I just want to express my gratitude to the Lord for a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I don't even know where to start. The Lord gave me such beautiful fellowship this weekend, and I think I really appreciated the thought in Brother Carl's talk about meek lowliness, teachableness, because you realize you have something to learn. And I came to this convention thinking about a thought similar to that, and it reinforced it, and my experiences at this convention did, that each person here is a treasure, and the Lord has something to say to me through each person that I have contact with. And it was true. Some of my questions and some of the hunger in my heart for closer fellowship with my brethren and with the Lord, and a lot of those things were answered this weekend for me. And privileges of contact with brethren after this convention that I'm going to pursue. And questions, I've had a lot of questions on grace and works and how to balance that in my life. And there's been so much given to me here. And I just want to thank the brethren that went to all the work to put on the convention. I'm so thankful that I could be a part of it. And I also really appreciate being reminded of the priority of the gift of spiritual communication. And that's going to be a burden in my prayers. And I just thank every one of you for your love and your sharing with me. I had really special times of talking about all kinds of things and listening to very important truths that the Lord had for me, and it was through each of you. So I really thank my Heavenly Father.
We can see, Sister Joy, how you have absorbed so much because you were ready for the experience and you were prepared for the blessing that the Lord had for you. Now as you chew your cud, it will certainly give you the aftermath, the joy and the peace of the Lord.
I'm Sister Shirley Evans from Portland.
Sure.
Well, when I first remarried, I had to write my name out when I testified to be sure to say Shirley Evans. And a man doesn't really quite understand that because his name never changes. And it's when we get excited and we don't think, we sometimes revert to our maiden name that we lived with so long. I bring a lot of love. My Jackie and Ed Lamel several times asked me to convey their love. Jean and Boone called a couple times. They were so afraid I'd forget. I visited with my mother before coming up here, and she recognized me. I didn't expect it. I went to see her because it was for me. I wanted to see her. But the Lord gave me the little blessing that she recognized me. She remembered my name. And I brought her Bible. It's at Jackie's because they really don't like anything valuable kept in these homes. So I brought her Bible. And she took it out of the bag and she fondled it and cuddled it and caressed it. And I said, "You know what book this is, Mother?" And I really shouldn't have done that. I didn't want to embarrass her, but the way she was handling it, and she says, "No," but you could see it was familiar. And I said, "It's your Bible, Mother. You used it for years. This is your life. This is how you spent your life pleasing the Lord." And she said, "Well, it's still my life." And I read very familiar passages to her. "The Lord is my shepherd" was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I could see her lips moving. Right. She remembered it. Mm-hmm. And as I read that 23rd Psalm to her, I couldn't help but think, as a child I used to think, "Oh, what a skinny little book this Bible is. Jesus said so much. We don't have those reds. I'm sure a lot of the letters, the epistles have been lost. And this is really just a skinny little book is all we have." But when I just read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," I was so stunned with the import of that little phrase. God, the creator of the universe, is looking over us, and we don't have any wants. He's there to supply all our needs all the time. He hears us. He cares for us. And it was almost overwhelming. I should explain why we had the Vespers with us. We normally don't carry all that equipment. And we normally don't pack the car ahead of time. But Richard was going to give his a bedroom set to his younger son. And so he had the car all packed the night before, so we'd get a nice early start the next morning. Well, that evening, Albuquerque called us that Tim Cooper was ill and had to back out of the Vesper at their convention. Would we please bring a Vesper? So, of course, we did, and we had it, both for the Albuquerque and for this convention. But it was a blessing because the brethren truly enjoyed it. Part of the excitement, of course, was going to Albuquerque and seeing the Jaycees. Richard has seen them more recent than I did. And as we were excited here to see our family, Rick and Nelson, Angela and Comey, whom we love very, very dearly. But as you can see, we picked up a few more children. And we're very happy to have Dupay and Joseph as our children. Dupay calls me mother, and I call her daughter. And I don't know if any of you noticed, Carl calls me mother. And we're getting in good practice, because Rich and I hope to be the parents of hundreds of thousands. So all of you can call us mother and father. It's perfectly all right. We love all of you. The first Nigerian convention was mentioned a couple times. I didn't go to it. Richard did, but oh, how I wanted to. And I went to Rick and Elsa's home, and we spent hours formulating a telegram that it just said the right things. I don't know if, I think Elsa remembers that. Yes. Oh, we just, to be sure, our wording was right, and we were so excited in sending it. And Richard came back and didn't even comment on that telegram. And so finally, when a week went by, and I said, "Well, was the telegram read to the class?" And he said, "What telegram?" It was never received. But we had the blessing of thinking and being with the brethren there. The convention was a great blessing to me, but I'm not going to go through every single talk. The fellowship was just wonderful. But I will tell you what my highlight of the year is, and I hope will stay with me. New Year Day, our class put on a New Year's program for the retirement center. And Brother Jerry Leslie called on Edna Moyle to open one of the services. And she started to pray and started crying. And all she could say was, "Lord, thank you for making us so happy. Thank you for making us so happy. And I want to thank the Lord for making me so happy."
And we want to thank you, Sister Shirley, for making us so happy with that testimony.
Shirley's testimony reminded me, I spoke with Ginger Brand, and she said to be sure to send her love and Michael's love to this convention. And I want to make sure I did that.
Thank you very much. Peter and Margaret Farley-Chewski three times asked me to send their love because she knew I'd forget the first two. And the Portland area Bible students, and they always send a scripture, and the scripture is Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And I hope I make our Heavenly Father very happy.
Thank you.
I'm Mary Langsett from the Portland area. And hearing the different ones that forgot to bring the greetings from, hearing the different ones that brought their, that forgot to bring their greetings, our daughters told us, now be sure, Mother, that you give our love when you go down there. Because they know that usually when I come home, they say, Mother, did you give our love? And I say, no. Mother, why do you do that way? And so this time I'm going to give them this tape to listen to. I did like some of the other ones did. I wrote down their names so that I wouldn't blubber over those. And this is our daughters, Joan Kilgore, and our daughter Judy, and her husband Jerry Black. And they did send their love and wished very much that they could be here. Oh, yes, and Harvey and Lou Brown especially sent their love. We thought that they were coming with us, but they couldn't. And I want to thank my Heavenly Father for the blessing of being here. And I also want to thank all the people that were responsible for organizing this convention, because it was no little thing. They all did such wonderful labors of love. And we do appreciate the fact that everyone did all that they did to make this so complete. I know that when I go to convention, I'm always so on such a high that I can't remember the talks, and I can't absorb them, and yet I know that they have so many wonderful things in them. But then when I get home, I can play the tapes and hear it again and absorb all of it. And I'm very thankful to be here, and I do love all of you. And it's just been a blessing to be here with you.
Thank you, Sister Mary. I don't know how much more time we have, Brother Chairman. It's 8 o'clock. Oh,
you getting tired?
No.
You don't want to ask you, Dan.
Thank you.
Sister Bev Christensen from Seattle class, and I too am extremely happy to be here this weekend. I have loved Comey ever since I met him. I loved Angela ever since I met her, and little Daniel when he came along. And so when I saw in the Fresno convention that Comey's parents were going to be here, I made the remark in class one day that I'd sure love to go to Fresno because I'd like to meet Comey's parents, not thinking that I'd be able to go. But Christmas came along, and I received a plane ticket for my kids for Christmas. So I'm here, and I've just been especially pleased to meet Joseph and DuPay. I just felt at ease and comfortable the moment I met them, just like I did with the others, and I feel that the Lord has really blessed all of us to have them here, and I know I feel especially blessed, too, to have had their fellowship. And I appreciate Jenny and Bob taking Lois and I in for Thursday night. We had extra fellowship, and it was lovely. I enjoyed all of the convention. I'm not very good at echoing my thoughts. I'm like, Mary, I have to get home and go over the tapes before it gets sunk in real good. But I just want you to know that I love you all, and think about the fact that the two very greatest beings in the whole universe are on our part. And I love my Heavenly Father and His Son, and I love all of my brethren. And I especially love this truth and the thought of a kingdom coming when all mankind will know them too. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Sister Edith Irvine. My husband insists that I try to make a testimony because I rarely ever do. It's very difficult for me to speak up like this. However, I am grateful for all the blessings that I received this convention and having the opportunity to meet Comey's parents, a nice conversation with his mother, which I enjoyed very much, hearing how they were led by the Lord and through the help of our brethren to receive this wonderful truth. I remember when, even though I was raised in the truth, I began to appreciate it. When I was about 12, 13 years old, and we had a visiting speaker, Brother Woodworth, came to our town in Reading, Pennsylvania, and gave a beautiful public talk on the plan of God. And suddenly it was like a light flashing in my mind. Everything was opened up, and I thought this was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. The way he explained it, and the love of our Heavenly Father was so great that he was willing to give his only begotten Son for us and the whole world. And trying to compare that with how a parent would feel if they were in that position. And I was so anxious to tell my friends about it the next day at school. I could hardly wait to get to school to talk to them. I didn't have a lot of friends, but I had two that were very close, and they listened. And to this day, I still keep in touch with one of them. She's not in the truth, but she is a Christian woman and interested in serving the Father in her own way. And I received a lot of good lessons from the talks. I appreciated Brother Carl's talk and on the body members and each one being important to the whole body. And that also, I guess it was Carlton's talk on breaking our alabaster boxes now and doing what we can for each other. That's very important. So, my husband reminded me, I don't know how many of you knew Sister Frances Hall. She passed away about 3 weeks ago, North Carolina. I believe she was about 92 years old. She used to be a member of the Los Angeles class most of her life, for many years. Well, this is Frances Hall I'm talking about. Frances Hall, Mac Hall, and Frances. She was in the truth a long time. And also Sister Frances Froberg, who is also in our class, but hasn't been able to attend for many years because she's been in a rest home. Her husband just passed away this past week. And anyway, there were cards there for her to be signed. Well, the whole convention has been a blessing to me, and I hope that I can put some of these things to practice in my daily life, the lessons that I've learned. I love you all.
I suppose of all the peoples in the world, we are able to rejoice when we hear such tidings of our dear ones just going beyond the veil. We sorrow not, because we know the glorious prospect that awaits. Thank you, Sister, for your testimony and for sharing the news with us.
I'm Brother David Tiffany from the Dalles, Oregon. I go to class every Sunday at the retirement center. I don't remember now just how many times I've been to the Fresno convention. Many times up here and then down when they had the convention right downtown. We went to a lot of conventions there. And I'm so happy to be here. And I think most of the brethren that's been here today I have seen before. There's very few of them that I never met before. And we're certainly glad to be here and listen to all the talks. And I drove down here by myself. I couldn't find nobody to ride with me. But and I don't know how far it is. It must be a couple of thousand miles, but it's certainly worth driving that far just to listen to the talks and have the fellowship with all the brethren. And I'm certainly glad to be here, and I'm certainly glad for the help that I've had, and the no trouble with my car or anything like that. And I'm sure I had the Lord's watch care over me. I pray every day for his watch care, not over myself, but for all the brothers that are traveling. And I'm certainly glad to be here, and I appreciate it.
Well, I remember a few years ago when we did drive down from the retirement center. Was it to the Fresno Convention, Brother David? And we took that round trip with him, and it was a pleasure to see the beautiful sights as well as to share the fellowship with Brother David. And he is quite a skillful driver. And we thank the Lord that you're able to make it so frequently.
I'm Sister Betty Langford from Sacramento, and I've enjoyed all of the testimonies and echoes. It's been wonderful from the heart and sincere. I want to say how much I enjoyed Sister Jacy's, am I pronouncing that right?
Right.
Jacy's singing. When I was playing the piano, it's one thing about playing the piano, you can hear the brethren singing out full force because they're facing you. And I heard her lovely voice. It was made the music so much prettier. Some of the things for the echo was quickly. How does one determine ability? I appreciated that. And the thought was that the Holy Spirit will make that manifest to you. And the ability goes as far as your desire goes. And that almost is like having priorities, which one must have in the, when we're walking in the Lord's way. And I appreciated Brother J.C.'s thought that Paul knew what he was after and he would do anything to get it. Paul has always been special. He's so dynamic, and he said so many wonderful things. You think about Corinthians and Hebrews and Romans and all of the epistles that he wrote is so wonderful. And in the other scripture that seems to be a brother, I enjoyed all of the talks, but for some reason or other, I picked these thoughts up from a brother, J.C. And it was in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 11 that he read. And what caught my eye, because I read on down, was the 13th verse. And it's the 10 and 11 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And down in the 13th verse it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. And I thought that was a lovely ending to that thought. And when we think about the fact that we are chosen, we don't know this of our own volition. We know it because God touched our hearts and opened our ears with his Holy Spirit. And then he went over to John 6:68, and that's one of the things that I've always, to me it's, well, to use the vernacular, I guess you'd say terrific. Wasn't it Peter that said, Lord, where will we go? We have reached the end of the line. And there are some who come and go and don't know that they have reached the end of the line. They're still seeking. But this is, the fellowship has been rich. The Lord has been here. And you could feel this feeling of appreciating the Lord and the truth and the fellowship. And it's been a loving spirit. And I'm glad that I'm one of the children of the Lord and part of his family, and I love you all.
Thank you, sister. Behind you.
Richard Evans from the Portland area Bible students. Brother Ray and Brother Carl, I share with you a flood of memories. It was 14 years ago this time of year that I made my first trip to Nigeria. And it is, as we sit here and think about these things, it brings back many events. But before I get into that, I would like to address something that Jenny mentioned. She said that she had prayed that there wouldn't rain on the convention. 2 years ago, Sister Shirley and I gave Brother Peter and Sister Margaret a ride to Albuquerque, the same type of trip that we've just made, because neither Peter nor Margaret had ever seen the Grand Canyon. So we talked them into going to Albuquerque, and then we'd take them to the Grand Canyon. And when we got to the Grand Canyon, it was snowing. It was a blizzard. It was a whiteout. We could not see the canyon because it was just white. So Peter and Margaret still haven't seen the Grand Canyon. Now, that was the same time 2 years ago. It was immediately after the Albuquerque convention. So I was very concerned about this trip because we wanted very much to show Joseph and DuPay some of the natural wonders of God. And we wanted to take them through the desert, the painted desert and the petrified forest and the Grand Canyon. So I'm very appreciative of the Lord that he brought rain to Echo. Because at the Grand Canyon, we had a blue sky and white clouds. and they got a beautiful view of the Grand Canyon and all of God's magnificent work. So I just thought I'd let you know why you got clouds, Fresno. But to go back to some of the memories, both of you mentioned the first trip into Nigeria for the convention, but you didn't go on about that. You both mentioned the fact that Comey met you at the airport, and some of us had got pretty well hassled at the airport. So when we finally got into that station wagon, there was just sort of a collective sigh of relief. Ah, we're safe. And so Comey started out, and I don't think we had been on the road 5 minutes, and Comey overran a guard post. I think in his excitement with all these American brethren and everything, he didn't quite stop soon enough. And the next thing we know, we have a drunk soldier or a soldier on high on drugs, or I'm not sure what, pounding on the window with an Uzi submachine gun. And things got kind of quiet. And Comey got out and finally got back to the car, in the back of the car, and eventually I joined him and things got resolved. But I thought I would share the rest of that little moment with you. That was the introduction to a number of the brethren to Nigeria. But I have many wonderful memories of the hospitality of Joseph and DuPay. As I said, it was this time of year that I made my first trip there. So I celebrated Memorial there. And I had been making, actually I was in the company with Brother David Rice, but he had gone to the eastern part of Nigeria and I was in the western part, so we were by ourselves. And I was making a circuit in the western part of Nigeria, going from town to town, just going around the circuit once a week. And so I selected, I figured out where I would be on the night of the memorial, and let everyone know that we would be celebrating the memorial that night. As I went around the circuit, I said, okay, this particular night we'd like to have everybody come for the memorial. Well, Brother Joseph wasn't able to come, but he was so interested, he sent a good friend of his that was free just to find out, to be able to find out, you know, have a report on what had happened. So I was very impressed with that. That was a very interesting memory that I have, and there's many more. We could go on all night. But it has been a great joy to have again have them here in the United States and to be able to show them some of the beauty of God's work. The highlight for the convention, one of the highlights for the convention I would like to mention, Brother Ray, is in from your talk, when you brought out the word present for the two goats. That's a beautiful thought. I'd never heard it before, and I'm very anxious now to get home and really dig into that, because I think it's just a wonderful thought, and I appreciate hearing about it very much. Thank you. It's a great highlight for me. Sister Shirley and I will be leaving tomorrow morning and returning to Portland. And it is with a certain degree of sadness. We hate to leave Joseph and DuPay, but we know that they also have a family that they must reunite with, and so it is necessary that we go our separate ways. We're looking forward to further blessings from the Lord, and we thank Him very much for this privilege that we've had to be with the brethren, and we ask that you continue to remember us in your prayers.
Thank you, Brother Richard. Often we remember those days when we were together in Nigeria, and each visit had its own high points and memories that we can never erase.
Sister Margie Hagensick, I'm happy to be here. I've found it an outstanding convention. I've enjoyed the fellowship very much in addition to the talks. Have several points to think over and look into, and that were a blessing both from the fellowship and from the talks. And it was especially nice meeting the JCs again. We'd met them at the International Convention. Of course, Carl had seen them in Nigeria. I hadn't had that particular privilege. But I've enjoyed very much getting to know them. And the more I get to know them, the more deeply I love them. And the same is true also of the rest of you, dear brethren. It seems like the more we get to know each other, the more we see into each other's hearts and realize how much depth is there, and how our Heavenly Father loves each one, and we begin to see a little bit of why. And not that there's any merit in any of us, but the Lord does see that desire to serve Him. And many things I don't have the answers. I don't know just what the Lord would have me to do in this and that, and I don't always make the best decisions, but I know the Lord knows I want to do His will, and that's a comfort to me. And when I sometimes get a little bit discouraged about, it seems like, how could I ever make my calling election sure? And the Lord sends somebody along to give me that uplift and the encouragement, saying, yes, my child, I still love you. And so it gives me the courage to keep on going and not get too discouraged. And it seems like the Lord always has His loving extras that He adds into our lives. And I appreciate that. We've got a wonderful Heavenly Father. What a thrill it will be to get to know Him personally, face to face, if we're faithful. May we be.
Thank you, Sister Marge.
Yes, I did enjoy seeing the Tsiplias again. Their daughter, Sister Viorica Krishan, is living with us and is a fantastic blessing to us. She is so consecrated. She is so busy doing everything she can, night and day, literally. And they too are dear. And they have been staying in Sacramento for 3 months now. They had been in the Los Angeles area before. The thing that separates them from the brethren is the language barrier. So they decided to do what they can. In spite of the language barrier there, they've been meeting with some Romanian Pentecostals and studying the volumes with them. I'm not sure whether it's the first volume they're on or whether another. I suppose the first. And the two that came with them were of the Pentecostals. They were ones that were able to bring them by car. And Joseph was telling us a little of his experiences when I questioned him. He tried four times to get out of Romania. He succeeded on the fourth try. He was beaten on at least two of the other tries that failed, that he got caught. The third try getting out of there, they beat him so badly he was in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't think he'll ever fully perhaps recover. And he's just a young kid. He hasn't seen his parents for 3 years now, during which time, just very recently, his father died of lung cancer, and he doesn't know when he'll see his mother again. We don't realize what a blessing we have to have been born here. We have a lot of blessings, and I know I have not been adequately appreciative to the Lord for what he's given. I do appreciate it, but I should appreciate it more. And, however, I've seen, too, that the dear brethren in Romania and other countries where I've been, some of them have had terrifically hard experiences, but they keep on plugging. And I'm wondering if the Lord will call that Pentecostal, that Joseph that was here, because he has a lot of dearness to him. He is really trying to serve the Lord the best that he understands it. And so we will see what the Lord has in mind.
Thank you. Is there another?
What else can you do on a rainy night?
I see. Wow. Just wow. This... everything was a highlight to me. I just don't want to point out anything in particular because it seems like every moment of it has been just absolutely wonderful. From the very beginning, way back, I believe it was January when you asked me to come, this particular convention has been iffy with me for various reasons, but finally I told Bev, I said, okay, she wanted me to come with her. I said, yeah, well, we'll work it out. And good heavens, I know that the old devil's been after me with one pitchfork, but I think this time he got a hold of two of them and started chasing me. I ended up in the hospital for 8 days and came home with a pacemaker, and I asked my doctor, I said, what about my trip to Fresno? And she said, go ahead. Okay, so... Then through some mix-up, why my prescriptions, I became very, very ill. And again, they got that straightened out. I said, what about Fresno? Fine, go ahead. Fine. So last Monday, I developed one of my old plagues of the gout. I went back. I said, well, what about Fresno? She says, go ahead, just keep your feet up. So I made it, and I chased back the Satan myself with his own pitchforks. And I am so grateful and so happy to be here to see all of you. And I love every one of you, and I thank the Lord every day for the many blessings he's bestowed upon me.
Thank you.
I want to say a few words about how my wife and I started coming to Fresno. We have a telephone on our bed, and had just gone to bed one night, and the phone rang, and Brother Bob says, have you thought about coming to Fresno? I said, well, we hadn't really thought about it. He says, well, we need somebody to do the recording for us. So I says, okay, we'll come up. So, We've missed 1 year since then. I think I was sick 1 year and couldn't make it. So we've been up every year, and we enjoyed it every time. And sometimes my wife has been sick while she was here and had to spend a day or two in the room. But overall, we enjoyed this beautiful place and all the friends. Because every time I get with the friends, it's just like family. I ask you all, you pray for me too.
And surely it is family. We are closer knit together than the closest of friendship and of family ties of the world. Because we have a relationship which is transcending the human. And we relate to each other as new creatures in Christ. And that puts an entirely new dimension in the heavenlies. There another?
Brother Ray, we thank you very much for leading that service, and I certainly personally thank all of you that for participating in this testimony tonight. You know, it's the hardest working person in the whole operation is the one that takes all the reservations and juggles all the rooms and puts everybody where they're going to be. But you know, in a way, that's the most exciting too, because I remember when Bev called.
Oh boy, Bev called. Oh boy.
You know, so it's and then every time somebody calls and says, you know, you still have room, you know, it's like, oh boy, somebody else has got. So we have this wonderful anticipation as to who's going to be here, and then we're going to see this one, and we're going to see that one. And so that's a wonderful privilege. In fact, I was telling somebody today, you know, it's about, oh, 20 miles up the line here at Wawona in Yosemite Park where I was working. I came out from college in the east and was working in the park and went to the dance down at Camp Curry in Yosemite Valley. And I saw this girl there, and the Lord said, now there is the girl that will make a perfect registrar for a convention. And so I went and picked her up, and we've been waltzing ever since. 45 years. So I thank my Heavenly Father for my dear wife and her labor of love and our conventions, and for all of you for making it such a lovely occasion. So who would like to choose a hymn for closing? I really could would have a difficult time if I tried to start reminiscing a little bit about
Appendix K.
Appendix K, about Nigeria. I must say, though, when we were in Nigeria, one thing I vividly remember was the time that we went to the airport in Port Harcourt, and we found we weren't going to get on the airplane. And that was, I think, that up to that time in my life, probably the most traumatic experience, because of the fact that I realized that we were totally out of our own control. We had no decision-making power left. We were totally in the hands of people. There was no recourse. You know, as Americans, that's kind of, you always have at least the Supreme Court to go to, you know, or the presidential pardon. There is nobody to go to. That is it. And so you realize that the powers of this earth have you in their control, and the only power that you have left is that from the Heavenly Father. And that is an experience. And I remember that when we went there, Comey was always cool and collected, and he never seemed to get ruffled. But when we were at that airport, and we didn't get on that plane, and Comey said, "This is serious," I got scared. Because, you see, up to then, I had learned his mother has this thing about, no problem, no problem. Well, I picked that up from Sister DuPay, and I came home, you know, no problem. Whatever it is, no problem. So, and here and I really didn't think about, picking up her accent like that, whether it was flattering or unflattering to do that to somebody, but she wasn't around, so. What happens, but the other day we were sitting there with Sister Judy, came over for dinner, and Sister Tish. We wanted to introduce the Ajaces to Comey's other American mothers that had taken over when he came over here. And so we're sitting there, and Tish says, "Oh, we know about you. You're the one," and says, "no problem." And I said, "Oh, no." So... But it's that coolness and always in control that always impressed me. So anyhow, we have so many warm remembrances of occasions with that experience and with so many of you. And we just praise the Lord and thank Him for this privilege of this convention and getting together with people like Lena coming back. And anyhow, what we were going to sing. Yes, Sister Shirley. And not only that, but then Brother Ray turned to me. I believe it was Brother Ray turned to me and says, "Did you look at your ticket? We had thought we were going to get
a ticket that would they were going to let us just go from there to Lagos, which was where we could get another airline, because we were at the mercy of the Nigerian airline at this particular airport. So we finally convinced them just to let us fly over to that place, because they did have seats available, but they were all booked at Lagos. So we got on the plane, and we thought we were going to go to Lagos and have to work out some flight plans from there. And I think it was Ray that said, "Did you look at your ticket?" And I said, "No." And I pulled mine out and looked, and he says, "Look, it says through to London." And so we went through to London, and on that flight. So, I mean, it was like, and we didn't know that till we were in the air. But the airport manager marched us out to the airplane after having to go through and open our suitcases because the x-ray machine didn't work. And the manager's telling them, all the Nigerian people, "Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up." And they finally got us through the processing, our passports, our medical records, our everything. And we got on that plane. He closed the door. The engines were running, and they started down the runway. And, I mean, it was like something out of a movie, I tell you.
But he didn't tell you the rest of the story.
The last flight out of Port Harcourt, and that night there was a military takeover of the government. Do you remember that?
That's right.
And the borders were closed.
That's right.
For the next week. And if we did not get out on that flight, we would have been stranded in one of the most primitive areas that you could think of, with the airlines repudiated any responsibility for our welfare.
Yeah, and all the rest of the brethren were due to speak at the convention in London, and I was supposed to be in San Diego a week later, and Ginny was waiting at the dawn, so I had to get her in the car and drive to San Diego. So we all had to be somewhere, and we all had a time schedule. Yeah. Quite an experience. Comey's got to add to it. Okay. Now we're going to get to Appendix K. Was that what it was?
Yeah, Appendix K.
Appendix K. You want to stand to sing this, or you feel like you need to stand and stretch a little bit? It's in Christian love.
23.
I think we can sing it a cappella, so Joy can also be in the circle, and
yes.
And blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, fellowship of kindred minds, and hearts of that love. And Daniel can get in the middle of the circle.
Why don't you leave the microphone there?
I want to hear you. You want it? Stick it up on the Bible there.
There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Atta boy.
So who knows the pitch?
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship.
Our dear, loving, and blessed Father, our hearts are just full of thy goodness. And how we are just rejoicing in the abundance of thy provision for us these past 3 days. We know that thou hast been in our midst and thou hast blessed us. Knowest thou hast prepared us for the wonderful opportunity we shall have to memorialize the death of thy dear son and our sharing with him in that death. We thank thee that thou hast been more meaningful to us, closer to us, nearer to us this weekend than ever before. We have sensed the working of thy spirit in our lives and in the lives of our dear brethren. And we praise thee for thy greatness. And we ask that our lives might reflect that more faithfully, more surely, and that we might be able to produce those fruits of righteousness that thou dost intend that our hearts will develop. And so may we look back to this lovely weekend as one of those Ebenezer experiences of life. And when the way gets narrow and difficult, and when the tears come to the eyes and the experiences seem to be overwhelming, we may look back and know that thou hast been with us there, and thou wilt be with us thus. And in that strength and in that faith, may we follow thy will. Follow the Lamb with us wherever he goeth. Our hearts are full, dear Father, of thanksgiving. And may our lives then be a life of thanks living as a result. May we strive to manifest to thee our joy and our appreciation by being more obedient and more attentive children. Bless thy dear ones the world over. Grant unto them their needs, the portion of the children's bread. Whatsoever their circumstances, we commend them to thee, knowing that thy arm is not shortened, that thy promises are yea and amen unto them, as they have been unto us. And in the glow of that faith, we worship thee in spirit and in truth. May thou continue to guide and direct the destinies of thy people and that kingdom, that glorious time to come, when thy will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, our Father, we pray that it be soon here, that all might know thee from the least unto the greatest, and all might experience the joy of the Lord, for which we thank thee, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.